But as we turn again to Psalm 10 this evening, and we find ourselves in verse 17, we look at these words, and these wonderful words. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful assurance. What a wonderful statement, reminding us of the blessing of knowing God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. His ear is hearing. His arm not too short that it cannot save. Now, I've entitled the message this evening this: the cause and the effect. The cause and the effect. Now, as the psalmist is speaking particularly here, of petitioning God, of bringing petitions and prayers before God Almighty, as he is speaking of the child of God, and as the church collectively coming before God, lifting our voices up to God in prayer, he, our Lord God, the one God, the one true God who hears prayer, he is the cause of that prayer, and he's the effect. He's the effectual working through that prayer. It's all of him. It's all of him. The desire of the humble here, spoken of by David the psalmist, the desire of the humble is speaking of those things which the Lord's elect seek after in prayer. David the psalmist is not speaking about what the world considers prayer. David the psalmist is not speaking about religious prayers, set prayers. He is not speaking of the world's religions and their supposed petitions to God, an unknown God. But he speaks here of a people, a most privileged people, who can come, before the Almighty, the great I Am, and utter these words as commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. My Father, Abba Father, we're commanded to pray it. You've probably heard me say this before, I'll say it again. It irks me. When you hear people, I don't know whether it's just tradition or whether it's because they're fearful of what people think of them when they pray publicly, especially from the front in some churches, and everything is Lord. Lord, as if they are praying and afraid to utter the name of God, like the Jews of old, so they called Yahweh Jehovah. They were afraid to utter his name. When we have been commanded, Jesus didn't suggest it in any way. He says, when you pray, say Father. And why does he say that? Why must we be so strong on that? Why must we insist upon that? It is because crying out Abba Father unto God, led by the Spirit of God, is the benefit springing forth from the cross. Namely, adoption. Adoption. And so to not call God Father is to not give him praise for what he has done for us in Christ Jesus. And he desires and commands us to call him Father. To call him Father is a term of reverence to God. And so the people here, spoken of by the psalmist, are not just any people. They're a peculiar people. They're a set apart people. They're an elect people. They're a special people called by God's grace, able to come and make their heart's desires known before God. Yes, God knows all these things before we ask, but to utter those things, knowing that God beholds, that God delights to hear his people. And so firstly we see here, as we look at these words, once again we remember who it is is being addressed. Lord, Yahweh, the one true God. This is who we come to. What a privilege to offer up prayer to him, let alone to offer up praise to him, to cry out from our very hearts unto him, to even approach his throne of grace and not be consumed. Firstly, surely the first desire, as we see here, the desire of the humble. For everyone coming to God Almighty must come humbly. Humble yourselves before the living God and he will lift you up. He resists the proud though. He resists all the proud. All the proud. The first desire of those called the humble, humbled not by themselves, humbled by the Spirit of the Almighty through the preaching of the gospel unto repentance, a much neglected subject today, unto true repentance, is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's what that tax collector in the parable desired, to be righteous. He desired to be righteous, even though he knew he was not righteous. He desired to be righteous before God. And in his repentance, through the repentance that God granted him, we see that, yes, he left that place justified before God. Justified before God. That is the first thing which comes into the hearts of those called by the grace of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus. It is not to seek after signs and wonders. It is not to seek after healing. It is not to seek after financial benefits. It is to seek after righteousness. That's how the people of God are identified. The Lord Jesus saying, blessed are them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. It's the first thing that comes upon the people of God. That's the first desire. That's the first true prayer of one that is being born again of the Spirit of God. It's the first prayer. By the grace of God, a despising and a lamenting of personal sin. Sin to the one who comes with this desire, this humble desire, is not something that anyone else does. It's personal. It's always personal. Of all that offends the Lord, that's the desire of the one humbly coming before God. They desire to be the opposite, to be righteous, to know the righteousness of God. In fact, none can come to know the Lord God anyway. None can come to know the Lord God attending unto their prayer. None can. There's not a single soul on this earth that can know God attending their prayer, except he make them wise. He, God, make them wise unto salvation through that which is, as Psalm 111 tells us, that which is through this, that which is the beginning of wisdom. What is the beginning of wisdom? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 111 says, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, there are many messages that you hear preached here, there and everywhere. They claim to be the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But just look for the effects upon people. People who are dancing up and down and they claim to be believers. They have no fear of God. No fear of God. And so therefore they have not come to know God. You cannot come to know God without the fear of God. Without the reverence for God. Without the holiness of God beheld in your heart and your sin. And to see, as that tax collector we referred to, to see that I cannot so much as raise my head to heaven. Yes, the desire of the humble. The desire of the humble here. That which he has heard of you. That which God has heard of you who know the Lord Jesus. Of you who have known the call of God's grace. Of you who have been made wise unto salvation. The desire of the humble. That which he's heard of you. Who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only Saviour of sinners. And of all who will be caused to. This desire is as the word here speaks a longing. It's a longing. This desire is a longing after. And as we just sang in our hymn just now, first and foremost, the longing is not for gold or silver, for prospering in this world. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for peace with God. It's as that woman with that issue of blood who the doctors could not help, and she couldn't even reach the Lord Jesus. She could barely get near him. But she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I've just got to touch Jesus. Got to have him. I desire him. I'm longing after him. That longing can only be placed there by God. But it's a longing, that which is a delight to come before God. And that's why we meet together. That's why the people of God meet together to worship God, because we delight. Yes, we delight to be in the company of one another, but we delight collectively to worship God. We delight to come before God. We delight to seek his face. To long for and the delight to know God's salvation. To know peace with the Almighty. As that which you have been made wise to. That is the first desire of anyone coming in prayer before God. That which you are made wise to, which all sinners who are brought by the grace of God to the Saviour, they must be brought wise to this. To your bankrupt, corrupt, depraved, sinful state. And to be made wise unto salvation from that corrupt, bankrupt, depraved, sinful state. By the God-breathed scripture, by the message in that scripture, the one message that changes, that tells us of the one Saviour who changes that position before God. The word of God which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God, the word who is Christ. This first and foremost is when the Lord God Almighty has heard the desire of the humble. And it's good. And we wish that could be experienced again. We don't. We say we wish that we could experience baptism again. But you know, baptism, I believe baptism can't even come close. There's a wonderful blessing in baptism we experience. But that which baptism only pictures, when we experience that in our soul, when we experience that before God, coming before God, being drawn to him by the Spirit of God and submitting to him in repentance and faith, we know a peace like none other that we have ever known since. What an experience. Yes, it's an experimental faith. Yes, it is of an experience. We must know that experience. And what an experience it is. And it's yours, if you know Christ, isn't it? It's not mine. It's yours personally. And it's mine personally. What an experience it is. And we wish we could pass it on to others, but we cannot. That is the hearing of the desire of the humble, as the humble prayer of all who truly are repentant. The Lord never refuses. Never. Never. He never refuses. He never casts out not a single repentant sinner. He hears every prayer of a truly repentant sinner. Not one goes unheard. Never did, and certainly will not refuse now. That's why this message that we have is the only message of hope in this world. We have the only message to proclaim. That's why we cannot be muzzled by masks. We must proclaim this message loud and clear in all the earth. There is peace with God in Jesus Christ. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. And that's got nothing. That's got nothing to do with broken relationships. Well, it has. It's when we are brought to see the pitiful state of our sinful hearts, that we have a broken, a broken relationship with our Creator. Yes, we have a broken heart. We're brought humbly down low. But when we're brought to that point, we're never left there. We're never left there. The Lord hears. He's near to such. He's near. And he draws such from their knees to sing his praises, experiencing the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, if you pray desiring the very will of God, if you are praying desiring the will of God, he will give you the desire of your hearts. It just has to be. Now I know with some people, their God, their Lord Jesus, their gospel speaks of a God who doesn't always manage to complete his will. He's thwarted from his will. He's frustrated from doing his will. And they can have that God. But my God does all of his will perfectly in his time. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You have heard the desire of the humble. You continue to hear the desire of the humble. He has to. He has to do his will. If you pray according to God's will, he has to do his will. Not because of you. Not because of me. Not because we said anything. But because it is his will. As he always does all his will. All his good pleasure. All the time. The Lord Jesus teaching this essential principle in prayer in Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, and notice there is a distinction he makes between the people of God and those who know not God. When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. For their much speaking. Now, I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with a child of God praying unto God, and especially in a prayer time when led of the Spirit of God to pray, and it's a fairly long prayer as led by the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying here is a prayer unto God led by God the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be with many words. Lord, help me is enough. Lord, glorify your name is enough. You see, there are many in religion who pray with many impressive words, but their words are only impressing each other. They're only impressing each other. Their reciting of prayers is only impressing others for them to be seen as righteous somehow before others. The Lord Jesus addresses this so many times with the Pharisees. Yes, they were very impressive religiously to others. And others looked up to them, as they most certainly look down on others with their self-righteousness. But rather we pray, as the Lord Jesus says in verse 10 there of Matthew 6, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That encompasses all our prayers. All our prayers have that as the principal aim. God's will be done. Lord, as we go out to evangelize the gospel, we seek that your will be done. Your will be done as we proclaim that message, and that those who you have willed it to be so would respond to that message. Lord, in my trying circumstances, I'm in much pains and much agonies and frustrated and really, really going through the mill in my life. Nonetheless, if it be your will, enable me as you have promised in Isaiah 43, that the flames would not kindle me, that I will pass through the waters, that I would know your presence with me. There are many prayers that we pray, but we pray them praying that God's will be done. And so surely the people of God, believers, must know his word then. Yes, we can pray, thy will be done in our specific situation, but it was most essential to know God's revealed word. To know his revealed word. To guide us and direct us, not just in our actions in life, but in our prayer life. And I am no expert on prayer. The revelation of his own will is that which guides us. We have God's will, which is his concealed will, and we have God's will, which is revealed will. And that part of his will, he has graciously revealed to a man for his glory, for God's glory. And so we seek in prayer humbly that God would do those things. Even as we read of the church in Acts 4, they quoted God's word. They quoted God's word. That his word and his will be done. You have heard the desire of the humble. And next we see, you will prepare their hearts. You will prepare their hearts. No one can truly pray. Not truly pray the prayers that we are speaking of here. Unless God prepare our hearts. God must be moving in our hearts. God must be directing us in everything. For thirdly, we see how true, effectual, not just prayer for prayer's sake, but effectual prayer. Prayer that has an effect by the one who is addressed in prayer. True, effectual prayer, so as to be heeded by the Almighty, ascends unto his ear. For we are promised in James 5 verse 16, and he's spoken from the example of Elijah. And God heard his prayers. Though that man knew much sufferings, many trials. And James 5:16 tells us the effectual, fervent, constant, persistent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's an insufficient word, much. It avails so much. Meaning, can do, prevails. Oh, we long to prevail in prayer for God. How is it that the elect of God, those who come through the one mediator between God and man, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, how believers, children of God, the people of God, can pray those prayers, can pray those prayers as he would have you to do. Well, behold what the word of God says here. Thou will prepare their heart. It is God who must move in us, both to will and to do all his good pleasure. It is God who must stir us. And when the elect of God, when we are truly exercised to really pray as God would have it, with all prayer and supplications, Ephesians 6:18, it is effectually stirred up by the Spirit of God's grace in us, within us. As Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparations of the heart, the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Teach me. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. As the disciples, they said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Oh Lord, as John taught his disciples, but most importantly, as you taught your disciples, teach us, your disciples, to pray. Make this word alive to us. You have revealed to us how we should pray in your word. Bring it to us. Bring it to our remembrance. Teach us by that word, by your Spirit. It is a truth to say, none of us can really, really, really pray unless the Lord prepares our hearts. Breathe on me, breath of God. To lay upon our hearts and minds by the Spirit's moving in us those things which are surely affirmatively to be answered, because God delights in answered prayer according to his will, because he delights in the glorifying of his name. As the psalmist David says here, thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. The Lord hears the desire of the humble, because he prepares the heart of the humble to pray that way. And therefore, because he's prepared us to pray, led us to pray, he will therefore hear. Cause his ear to hear. We don't cause his ear to hear. He causes it to hear. And we know it is only the ones who are drawn by God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit's power to believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus, whom he will regard, will turn his ear towards and heed only such. To hear their cries. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord, they're ever upon the righteous. Gazing upon the righteous. and his ears are open. Are open. Not will open. Are open unto their cry. Who are the righteous? Whoever calls them. Whoever calls. Whosoever calls. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. These are the righteous. The righteous. In the righteousness of Christ. Such ones as you who the Lord draws shall cause to come near unto his throne. Unto his throne of grace. Pleading mercy and clothed in the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Such ones, his ear is ever open to the cry of. And so he prepares those prayers for us to pray. And we pray aright as he leads us by his word. And he heeds, he hears, causes his ear to hear the prayers of our hearts. But those who come not with prepared hearts. Those who come not with prepared hearts. Those who remain as are described here throughout Psalm 10. God is not in their thoughts. In none of their thoughts. Yes, they cry out to God when it suits them. Or they want someone to pray for them. For this, for that. Or those who come against God's people, or who come against Christ, or blaspheme God's name, and they say, God has forgotten, saying this in their heart. God doesn't regard these people. God doesn't regard these people. He doesn't regard those who will not come in repentance and faith towards Christ. He rejects. To them he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And he says to those who he will not hear, you did it. Your sins have done it. So then to conclude, how is it that the Church of Jesus Christ, how is it the Church of Jesus Christ is to know the blessing of answered prayer? Well, this is an enormous well of truth that we cannot look at adequately now. But how is it, briefly, that the Church is to know answered prayer? Well, we know this. By seeking those things which the Lord leads us to pray for according to his word. He will do these things. He will answer these prayers. I guarantee it. Because I didn't say it. He promised it is so. We read these words, these wonderful words in John 14. Verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, in the name above every name, in the name that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. All those things which are to the glory of God the Father through his Son. He answers all those prayers. All of them. All to the praise of the glory of his matchless eternal grace. Amen.